It's Rebecca Huntley here on RN Drive, and we're going to go straight to our regular segment, Twitterati. And it's important today that we acknowledge that Twitter is in fact 8 years old. Who would have thought that 140 characters or less would be so popular? And we celebrate the little bird every week when we ask a social media user to curate their Twitter feed for the week on radio. And joining me now is Bhakti Puvanithrian. She's the Acting Deputy Arts Editor for The Age and SMH, and her tweet handle is at Bhakti. Very simple. Welcome to RN Drive, Bhakti.
Thanks for having me, Rebecca.
Now, it's Twitter's 8th birthday. So can you tell me, do you remember what your first tweet was about?
Yeah, so Twitter set up a little tool to let you into the archive so you could check out what your first tweet was, because they do kind of archive them after a while. And mine was about guacamole and the writing I had to do that night that I set up my Twitter account. And really not much has changed in my life.
So what was it about? It was a recipe for guacamole?
No, it was just contemplating, classic social media, contemplating what to have for dinner and how much work I had to do.
Right.
So pretty mundane.
So give us your first pick. Apparently Turkey isn't that thrilled with Twitter at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, while we're kind of celebrating Twitter in this segment, to the Turkish Prime Minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, I believe is how.
That's a very, very good. That's a good attempt at his name. It'd be interesting. Anybody wants to text us about how to say his name? That would be great.
Yes, please. He's been kind of on the campaign trail this week, and he has told the crowds that he will eradicate Twitter. And then, just to follow up on that promise, he used a recent law that allows the Turkish Telecommunications Board to shut down websites based on anything that they see as a privacy violation. And he's kind of taken that legislation and run with it. And Twitter is now not accessible in Turkey unless you're a bit sneaky about it.
And how has Twitter, in fact, reacted to this banning of Twitter? I mean, have been other people on Twitter trying to find ways to circumvent this ban?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing the internet loves more than a ban, a censorship challenge. So Mashable, the website which I initially saw this on, put up a link today to three ways to circumvent the Turkey ban. So one of them is SMS. Twitter have kind of set up a service where anyone in Turkey can text this number and their tweet can go through as though they were on a computer. And there's a couple of other kind of sneaky ways to get around the kind of geo-blocking that the Turkish government have put in place.
Now, tell us about your next pick. I loved this. It's somebody who's found a way to animate some very classic paintings by, you know, masters like Caravaggio. Where did you find this? And tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, again, just kind of browsing Twitter, and as you know, I'm the deputy arts editor, so anything kind of quirky and interesting about the art world always grabs my eye. So this is by a Milanese bloke by the name of Rino Stefano. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to get this. Tagliafiero. And
yeah, no,
he
that's
has
good.
Made...
Well, I'm Italian background, so it's pretty good.
Oh, thanks. He's made a short video called Beauty. And he's taken a whole series of classic paintings, as you mentioned, Caravaggio, another famous painting, The Birth of Venus. And he spent years kind of looking for them. But then in the last few months of last year, he did something called the 2.5D effect. So what the video, it's hard to explain on radio, obviously, but what the video basically does is say you're looking at a picture with a cupid in it, the wings will move. And it's very kind of surreal.
Yeah, what a trip.
Yeah, exactly. I urge everyone to check that one out.
Now, the new head of the National Portrait Gallery has said some interesting things about the kind of collection that's happening in the National Portrait Gallery. And I don't know whether you wrote this or not, but it's from the Age website. Tell us a bit about, we know how you found it, but tell us a little bit about the story.
Yeah, we've been kind of tracking this new head of the National Portrait Gallery for a while, and I think it's important because I think a lot of people probably aren't aware that we have a National Portrait Gallery. It kind of ends up playing second fiddle to the National Gallery in Canberra. And even though it is a smaller gallery, it's quite an interesting collection. So this is how their new boss, Angus Trumbull, who's originally a Melburnian, described it. He described it as adventurous and vigorous and lively, and he especially celebrated the fact that in this gallery there aren't that many politicians or statesmen. There's kind of a broader scope of Australian life represented. I don't know, have you been to the gallery?
I have. Whenever I kind of feel like you can't not go there. You know, I always like to go to the National Museum, the Portrait Gallery, and I even like to go to the Museum of Democracy. I kind of like to go to all three.
Oh,
it's a beautiful look. It's a beautiful building and got quite a nice cafe too.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, I think, yeah, like I said, a lot of people might know the Portrait Gallery in London, but we've got a great one in Australia. So I think he's going to be a champion for it. And Fiona Gruber's done a great profile for us. So I urge you to have a look at that one.
I did. I think one of the things that when I was reading it, made me think about this idea about the extent to which we as a nation look to our politicians to really lead us, to really kind of, you know, encapsulate the national spirit, and whether we look more to other kinds of professions. It reminds me too of Paul Keating's comment that, you know, Australia has never had any great political leaders like the United States. So perhaps it's a bit of a reflection of public opinion that we look more at other people. We look perhaps to sports people or people in the arts or rather than necessarily just to politicians to really epitomise our national character.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Aussie icons, I mean, maybe Bob Hawke springs to mind, but of the litany of pollies, yeah, there's it's not as portrait worthy as some of our, as you say, sports people or artists.
And your next one has again from the Age website, but it's a little bit about an interesting story about two sisters and their legal careers.
Oh, yes. So I loved this one because I have a sister and I'm a complete sucker for anything that is about sisterhood and celebrates that. So these are the first two sisters who have made the Victorian bar in its history and potentially even in Australian history. That's not completely confirmed yet. But I just thought it was lovely. There's a beautiful photo of them kind of laughing together. And, I mean, we so often think of judges as staid and authoritative and lonely. You know, they're all up there alone in their chambers. So I thought this kind of brought the world of the legal world to life in a beautiful way. And also it's great for women in the law.
No, it's terrific. And just finally, quickly, apparently the Gillard misogyny speech has been set to music and sung by a choir.
Yeah, so a bloke named Rob Davidson, who actually did a similar thing for the apology speech, a song called We Apologise, he's been asked to compose work for Australian Voices is the name of the choir, and they've performed this work called Not Now, Not Ever, which is what Julia Gillard said in Parliament about being lectured about sexism and misogyny by that man. Who is our Prime Minister now. And, yeah, it's a kind of interesting work. And I loved this. So Rob Davidson, when he was describing what he was trying to achieve, he talked about aphasics. Do you know who they are?
No.
So aphasics are people who don't understand words, but they do understand intonation and musical language.
Ah.
And so they always hear what's underneath what you're saying rather than the words that you're actually saying, and it's hard to lie to them. So he was trying to give everyone that experience of speech.
And back to your Follow Friday.
Yeah, so Follow Friday, I had to go with Jen DeZuria. She's an American writer. She writes about career and life advice, especially for women. And, I mean, sometimes she's a bit brash and a bit American, but I like that about her, and her Twitter feed's very funny. I've got a tweet for you from her to read out. Twitter is perfect for extroverted introverts. I want to be social and have lots of friends, but I don't want to leave my house.
That's
or wear pants.
Oh, bare pants. I can really understand that. Bhakti Puvanithiran, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.